Hello, and welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello, Ed.
Hello, Jennifer, and how are you today?
Well, I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
I'm doing well, and you are all in black.
I am.
You're like the Johnny Cash of NPR.
Johnny Cash. I wish I were the Johnny Cash of NPR.
Do you sing?
So my take on that is everybody can sing. It's societal norms that tell us some people are better than others. Let's move on.
I see. Okay.
So what's new?
There's
anything
always,
you want to share with us?
There's always things that are new on the horizon, which what would you like to talk about?
Well, I will say that astute listeners who access the podcast via our website will notice that I have been tacking a little note at the bottom that says, after we taped our last episodes, Ed had a big announcement that he is changing jobs. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. I'm happy to. In early 2020, I will be moving to the St. David's Foundation here in Austin as their incoming president and CEO.
Now, what brought you to make that decision? Because all that I know about your background, all of it has been academic and higher education based, and this is a different venue.
Absolutely not. I mean, what we have been doing together for about 5 years on our program, and what I've been doing for about 38 years in my career has been trying to inspire people to become better. And that is exactly what the St. David's Foundation does. And so I see really a parallel mission. Now, I will admit that in some sense, the sector is different, right? So I won't be a full-time academician. But the foundation, you know, supports wellness and supports education and supports health initiatives. And so I don't see it as a dramatic departure, but the drama comes from not being somebody who will be kind of immersed in academics. And that was a huge, you know, challenge for me to wrap my mind around as I was considering this opportunity.
Well, let's talk about that a little more, because I think there are lessons in that for everybody, especially maybe students who are thinking about their futures and trying to think about where what they might see themselves doing. Talk a little bit more about how you went through that process of making a decision to focus on maybe similar types of work, but in a different venue.
Yeah, in a different context. That's right. You know, it's funny because the hardest part about announcing this transition for me personally was telling and engaging with the students, you know, because they're the ones that you know, I'm at Southwestern University for the students first and foremost. So that was really a challenge for me. But what's interesting is that I now relate better to the graduating seniors because we're all kind of in that same boat. We're about to emerge from Southwestern University and do something else that's a big question mark, and we're all taking a large leap. But again, everything, Jennifer, that you and I have been talking about over the years has all about been how do we go about changing? And so in some sense, this is a very natural progression that we should all be open to. It's hard to think about making large, or in my case, maybe existential, changes in one's life or one's career path along one's journey. But the reality is that everything that we've been suggesting through this series, which, by the way, I'll just give a shameless plug, I hope we'll continue because we'll still be talking about how to make people better in maybe different context, but it would be fun to keep talking. How do you open your mind to looking at a future version of yourself that is a dramatic departure from where you are? And I think that that is scary. And so you first have to overcome that inertia that says things are okay now, or maybe things are great now. And so let's not mess up the apple cart. And as I've told you dozens of times, and our listeners have heard me say, that the whole point of a high impact education is to mess things up. Well, in some sense, I'm now messing up my own life, and I'm doing that through this process.
Is that why you did it? Because it was time to mess things up? Or why did you do it?
Yeah, the why is more complicated. It was something, by the way, that I was not seeking. I wasn't looking for this. I didn't even know the opportunity existed until someone approached me. I just think that I love the idea of the potential of having a big impact on humanity. And, you know, for 38 years, I've been doing that through my videos and through my teaching and through the various leadership roles that I've had the privilege of holding within the context of formal education. And in some sense, this to me is an extension of that to an even broader context. And the foundation, as you may know, every year we'll offer grants that total somewhere between $70 and $80 million to Central Texas organizations, nonprofits doing work in wellness and education and in health. And so that can have such an enormous impact. And what the foundation has already done has been remarkable in its, you know, less than 30-year history. It's a very new foundation. So it's also interesting that, you know, I'm going to be transitioning from the very first university in the state to one of the you know, young foundations that has grown so much that it's giving away enormous sums of money in grants. And that's an interesting juxtaposition as well. So all these things together, I don't know how one makes the decision, but the opportunity comes along. You have to weigh it, assess it, and then make a decision.
So if one of the seniors that you mentioned a little bit earlier were to come into your office and say, hey, Dr. Berger, so what have you learned from going through this process that you could maybe share with me while I'm getting ready to think about my future and my future self? What's a nugget or two that you might extract for that senior?
Not to be afraid of the emotional responses that you will have to even consider such a move or such a change, because they are real. And you have to balance all of that. And so for me, when I was wondering whether I should make this move and take on this other leadership role, I really had to weigh the life and the career that I've been enjoying at Southwestern University, and then the opportunity, the future value of an opportunity at a thing that's totally different. And that emotional roller coaster is one that, by the way, I'm still riding, because even after you make the decision, so even after you take the job, so you find that first job, you get that first starting salary, as these first year student, as these seniors will soon do. The truth is that it doesn't end there. I mean, there's still the goodbye. There's still saying goodbye to your friends. There's still, you know, the packing up in your residence hall and then moving to Chicago or to Dallas or to wherever. All of that, one needs to create the space in one's psyche to embrace this notion of change. And we talk about change, but when you actually are immersed in it, you need to give yourself the space to go through that process. And we're not machines, as much as I wish we maybe were, although I really don't think that. But I mean, as a mathematician, right? It would be great if we were all machines. But we are feeling creatures, and we need to be able to give that space for those transitions to happen. And I think the more space we give, the easier those transitions are.
Well, and we actually just talked about that in a previous episode not too long ago. We talked about sort of that thinking versus feeling.
That's right.
Sort of situation. And we sort of laid it out like a timeline, and that you sort of need to let yourself go through the emotional part and kind of experience that, and don't shortchange that, so that when you then get to the actual sort of decision-making action part, you've had time to process and go through everything.
That's right.
And then you can think a little more clearly and make the decisions from a little more of kind of a factual situational point rather than the, oh my God, like emotional place.
Exactly. Although I would argue that in life decisions, whether they're personal or professional, I think that the emotional element is important. So it's not just looking at facts. So it's not like just saying, well, you know, here's a list of the great things about this job and the great things about that job. But it's also, you know, where is your calling? Where are you being called right now where you are in your life? And I think that's important too.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, what we had talked about the fact that you don't want to shortchange that part, that you've got to give it the time and attention it deserves. Because
that's right.
It's there for a reason.
That's exactly
right. Like those emotions
right.
aren't popping up.
And you know, the truth is that no one likes death. Death is not a great thing. And when you make changes like this, if you're graduating and going on and doing something else, or if you're just graduating from one career opportunity to another career opportunity, the truth is that's a death. And so that saying goodbye, there's a mourning process, and we need to give ourselves the space for us to mourn the loss of the bonds, the friendships, the community that we will be leaving, and then begin to imagine and be excited by a future community and a future life that will come next. And that's hard too.
Now, in this previous episode I was mentioning about thinking versus feeling, you also mentioned that we had to be ready for some tougher puzzlers around the corner.
I am so annoyed that, you know, I've been trying to be nice. And I think the days of Ed Berger being nice are just about coming to an end, because I was giving you these fun little puzzlers, which you would write. Yes, and you'd write down the answer instantly.
Why is that bad? I don't understand why that is not a thing to
celebrate. We are trying to challenge our listeners to grow. And if they can just whip off the answer as quickly as you do, then they are not being challenged.
But my confidence was growing.
And I you will use that a larger confidence to embrace this puzzler that I'm about to share, which actually was originally published by the Mathematical Association of America.
Whoa, just I'm intimidated now.
Excellent. So okay. This is now what we want.
Okay.
All right. So this is about some people trying to cross a bridge.
Okay.
At night. And so it's very, very dark. And so let me give you the scenario, because we have four people and we want to get them all across the bridge.
Okay.
So four people want to cross a particular bridge, and it's very, very dark, and they do have to light their path, but they only have one flashlight.
Okay.
So the flashlight has to be used. Now, no more than two people can cross the bridge at one time.
No more than two.
Correct. So one person can walk over, or two people
two,
can walk,
but
no more.
More.
Correct.
Okay.
And you always have to have the flashlight with you as you cross the bridge. Otherwise, you could potentially fall in the water.
Okay.
So now it takes different time for different people in the group to cross the bridge. And I just made up these names. So there's Alice, Bob, Chris, and Deb. I just picked
okay.
the first.
A, B, C, D.
There you go.
Excellent.
You got it. Okay. So, and I've done this kind of numerically as well. So Alice crosses the bridge the fastest. So she crosses the bridge in 1 minute.
Okay.
Bob crosses the bridge in 2 minutes.
Okay.
Chris crosses the bridge in 5 minutes.
Okay.
And Deb crosses the bridge in 10 minutes. So
okay.
you've got the first person can do it in 1 minute, the next person in two, the next person in five, and the next person in 10.
Okay.
Okay. And the question is, can this entire group cross the bridge in 17 minutes or not? That is the question.
Okay.
Now, that one, I don't see you immediately writing down an answer.
I am not exactly. immediately writing down the answer.
Well,
so.
I finally have stumped the band, as they used to say on the
old... I need more than 3 seconds to think about this.
Well, you have a whole week.
I have a whole week. Okay.
But this is one that, you know, is not as silly as some of the other ones I've been giving.
It is not.
But it does involve... It's not a math question, by the way. So just, I don't want anyone of our listeners to think that somehow there's like a math equation uh-huh. here. This is really thinking... using all of the techniques and practices that we've been suggesting about trying to make meaning of a situation and trying to understand it and figure out if something is possible or not.
Do you like my picture? There's a
no,
bridge.
I saw
here
it.
The
oh,
four
my.
People.
Of course, yeah. And then they're on the other side. I see that they're...
Well, and here's the time.
Yes, so, exactly.
Yes,
No.
I'm all set up here.
All right. So you have a week to think about that.
I have a week to think about that.
Thank you.
So Ed, just as we wrap up our conversation today, I wanted to ask you one other question to sort of broaden your thought process and your recent decision making. I'm thinking of schools and particularly colleges and universities. I started thinking, you know, when a teacher, an administrator, especially a president, is in a situation and he or she might feel like they're ready to move on, How do you balance what you start feeling is something that you want to do or a challenge you want to take with the larger community? Because you know that there's students and their faculty and staff and their alumni and families that have relationships with you, but you know there's something that you're feeling like you want to do. How do you balance that?
It's real. I mean, I'm just speaking now personally. This is a very, very great challenge for me because I tend to live my life as mission focused. And so the idea of what might in my mind be more selfish, like, well, what's best for Ed Berger at this moment is something that I don't feel very comfortable with, to be completely honest with you. Now, the relationships that I have with alumni and students and staff and faculty and the community, the Southwestern community, are relationships that I hope will persist. But you're absolutely right. They will take on a different tenor and a different shape because of the change in dynamic. But that was probably the hardest issue for me because, you know, Southwestern is, as all of our listeners well know, because they've heard me over the years, it's a phenomenal institution doing phenomenal things and will continue to do great things. And it was difficult for me to think about, well, you know, I want to be a part of that. I want to stay a part of this community. And yet there's an opportunity to be a part of a different community where you can have, you know, a different type of impact and potentially in a different context and maybe do new things. So that's to me the real challenge. And for personally, I always get hung up in thinking about what's best for the community and that I want to do that, and that brings me joy, rather than, well, what should the individual do? So when I was a young professor and enjoyed teaching and you know, had some success in the classroom, and then you fast forward, you know, a few decades, and then this opportunity at Southwestern came along, I had people looking at me like I was crazy. You know, you're going to the dark side, you're becoming an administrator, which, by the way, I said, if I ever become an administrator, that's when I retire. I am a leader in education, and that's what I have been doing, and that's what I had hoped to do at Southwestern. But, you know, how can someone who enjoys teaching and is effective at teaching, you know, do less teaching and do something else? And now, you know, how can you take someone who is, you know, given, you know, his life to higher education, formal higher education, think about leaving and doing something in a broader context? I think that we should not, and I'm talking now to our listeners and to you, Jennifer, that we should not let our gifts and talents confine us to how we define ourselves and our future. And if there is something more that we want to do, I don't think we should use the fact that we're successful at something we're currently doing as an impediment to not go off, trailblaze, take the risk, you know, effectively fail, and do something else. And so that is something I offer not only to those people graduating and the students, but also to our listeners, that we should not let our success impede what we do next. Does that make sense?
Makes total sense. And, you know, just a final thought here also, you know, none of this is black and white. So when you say, you know, leave a community and move to another one, it's not like you never have contact with your previous communities.
Of course.
I like to think of moving on and opportunities as you're building on what you already have, as opposed to, well, now that part is closed off and I'm never going to, you know, I'm never going to hear from those students again. I'm never going to hear from those colleagues again. That's not really how the world works.
That's
and
right.
I think we tend to accumulate
That's right.
connections as we go along, not segment from, well, from 1997 to 1999, I knew these people. And then, so
exactly.
You build.
Exactly. And those relationships also evolve. And I think they grow, even if you're not in the same context. But anyway, it's just interesting food for thought as our listeners think about what their futures will involve in the future.
Well, Dr. Ed Berger, we thank you for all of your thought-provoking ideas today. Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. You can find out more at southwestern.edu. And you can keep your brains busy by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at KUT.org and wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Jennifer Staton, KUT News.